Okay, we're up to Ayin Chesem Abayz. We're in the middle of the Amud. Tana Rabbanan. First words on the line are Tana Rabbanan, about halfway down. We ended off yesterday discussing the Ran and the Minchas Chinuch about the issue of Ni'ilus HaSandal, that once we proven what is called a shoe regarding the Isser of Minol on Yom Kippur, we had three different shittas regarding that issue. The Ran dealt with the question of, so how, if it's not a shoe, so how could you wear it outside your house on Yom Kippur if they're in a place where there is no Eruv? That was the Ran's question. He came up with a big chiddush that even though it's not a minol regarding Ni'ilus HaSandal, it might be called a minol regarding Hotza'ah B'Shabbos Yom Kippur. Okay, so you can look there at the Ran on that base and the Minchas Chinuch in Shin Yud Gimel. Okay, now we move on. Tanu Rabbanan. Tinokos Mutarin B'Kulan Chutz Ni'ilus HaSandal. Says the Gemara, children. Our children, what is the halacha regarding children and the five inuyim, the hei inuyim? So says the Gemara, they're mutar b'kulan, they're allowed to eat and drink and sicha and the others, except for ni'ilus HaSandal. They shouldn't wear shoes. Shouldn't wear leather shoes. Why? Maishna ni'ilus HaSandal. What is the difference between ni'ilus HaSandal and the others? The amri inshi avdulei. The Gemara thinks right now that the problem with having children wearing shoes on Yom Kippur is because people will think that others, gedolim, help them. Inshi avdulei. So the adults help them. Tanaklami amri inshi avdulei. So if you see a child who has wet hair and it looks pretty clean, so you might say there too, what do you mean? The gadol helped the child take a shower. So if you say that just the issue is a Maris Ayin issue, or thinking about what the gadol did, there shouldn't be a difference between them. So the Gemara says, Rechitza v'sicha emar me'esmal avdilei. No, people see that he looks pretty clean, they'll think, oh, he took a shower yesterday, Erev Yantif. They won't realize that, they won't think that he just took a shower that day. Says the Gemara, Sandal Nami. So by shoes too, emar me'esmal avdilei. So people will think that the gadol helped the child put on the shoes on Erev Yom Kippur. So again, we're back to the question, what's the difference between the Ni'ilus HaSandal, where the Gemara says it is mutter on Yom Kippur for the child, versus the other inuyim? So the Gemara says, Sandal lo efshar demeaswa avile. No, by shoes, it's impossible that they were put on yesterday. So really, the issue is that we're worried that people are going to say that the Gadol helped the child put it on. And that is a problem at this point in the Gemara. But the shoes, we're not going to think that. It couldn't be from yesterday. Why? Because it's impossible that the child wore his shoes to sleep. And they were put on yesterday. To Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Haiman deboy lemitam taima demisusa, one who wants to taste the ta'am of death, lesayim misani valigni. Go to sleep in your shoes. I mean, wearing shoes at night is not something that is suggested by Shmuel. Shmuel was a doctor, so it might be a medical issue. I don't know if it's a metaphysical or medical, but Shmuel suggests not to wear shoes to sleep. Yeah?
He was on call.
Right, he was falling asleep with the shoes on. Right, so it's a... Late for the time inside of a leg, right? If he's in the hospital and he's on call, then it might be difficult. The Rishash here points out that there was something shown, there's a Sefer HaTrumas that says that Tabidei Chachamim are ones that untie their shoes once a week. There are other Makoras that say that maybe sleeping in shoes is not so bad. So some answer I saw them a dike in the Rashi, because Rashi here says, so the Toefes Re'im, so the Bureau that quoted the Toefes Re'im, he said, if you look at the Rashi, lo efshar me'esmol v'yehe yashin kol halayla v'heim baraglov. The problem is sleeping all night with your shoes on. Tamar Chachab sleeps little cat naps here and there. They don't sleep the whole night. Those Tamar Chachab that we're talking about in the Gemara that wore their shoes, they didn't sleep too much. They slept an hour here, an hour there. So for them, it wasn't dangerous. And those are the Makoros that talk about wearing shoes not being a problem. But you're also talking about a regular, when we wear our shoes throughout the night, and therefore we should take them off. Asks the Gemara, but still v'hamutar l'chad chiluk tani. The first line of this brisa seems to say that there's no problem at all by the other inuyim, by ketanim. What we just suggest? We just said, really, they're all problematic, but by if a gadol helps out on Erev Yantif, is that a problem? It sounds like mutter. It sounds like by the other inuyim, if the katan would need the gadol's help on Yom Kippur, it wouldn't be a problem. Mutar l'chad chiluk tani. So it must be a different shot. So Ella says the Gemara, really, by the other inuyim, there is no problem whatsoever when it comes to ketanim. Again, we're going to get to Bezrashim later in the Masechta. We're talking about Ketanim Shehigiyu L'Chinuch, when they're already 10, 11, 12. You know, at that age, there's certain levels of Chinuch that the mitzvah of Chinuch kicks in. But in terms of the Inuyim, the Isurim, per se, says the Gemara there's a difference between them. Ela Hanach to Lav Riv Yisayhu Gazru B'hu Rabbanan. Hanach to Riv Yisayhu Lo Gazru B'hu Rabbanan. depends if the child needs this act. If they need it for their development, if they need it for their daily activities. So by the others, the child needs it. The child needs to wash. The child needs to eat. The child needs to drink. So that is why all of those are mutter on Yom Kippur. But when it comes to wearing shoes, the child can go one day without wearing leather shoes. Again, this chiluk, the Ran uses this chiluk at the beginning of on Daf Aleph, where the Ran talks about the machlokas we referred to yesterday. Again, the machlokas whether the other inuyim are daraisa or drabanan. Right here, the Gemara makes a chiluk whether because tanim need to, so you know, we'll let them because you know it's important for their daily activities. So if you say that the inuyim are daraisa, all five are daraisa, only achilav shi are kares. But if you say they're all daraisa, it's very difficult to say that we'd be mechalik based on what the kata needs. Very difficult. The Ran again says, the Ran holds his daraisa, but he ends off tsarach ian because there are a number of makoros that seem to point in the direction that the isurim are derabanan. Like, we're going to get to the kala and melech in a couple of lines as well. Yeah, we're going to get to that as well. So is there any way, though, to explain it if it's daraisa? So there is an Avi HaEzri, who explains, Rav Shach, explains that maybe the point is that the isur of lo sa'achilum, which is the isur of a gadol helping a katan involve himself in an aveira, that only applies to isurim, to lo sa'aseis. But when it comes to a bitul aseh, so then that doesn't apply. By bitul aseh, there's no isur of lo sa'achilum. And by Yom Kippur, there is no isur mentioned in the Torah. And it doesn't say lo sochit la lo, don't eat, don't do something. What does it say on Yom Kippur? Kichol ha-nefesh, it's an inui, it's a mitzvah of inui, it's a mitzvah of afflicting ourselves. It says if we don't afflict ourselves, then we get kares. But the, really, it's a kiyum of inui, it's all a mitzvah asay. So it could be that the whole discussion of lo sa'achilum not involving a gadol, not helping a kata do an aveira, is only by yisurim and not by bitul asay. So even if you say there's orises, the isur of lo sa'achilum wouldn't kick in. The mitzvah of chinuch is by mitzvah asay. But that is how Rav Shach explains the shita that says that all the inuyim are daraisa. But anyway, back to the Gemara. So the Gemara explained four lines from where they get wide, fifth to last skinny line, that anything that's normal activity, normal behavior needed for the growing up, the development of the child is allowed, and that is why rechitza and sicha and achila and shasiya are all allowed for the katan. What it's not allowed is nilas hasadol. To Amar Abaya, as Abaya explains, Amrli aim. My mother used to tell me revise, and again, Rashi always says, ain doesn't literally mean ain, it means the person who brought up Abaya. Revise dianuka maya chamime umishcha. The regular activities and what's needed for a baby is hot water, maya chamime umishcha, and rubbing with oil, with special baby lotion. Gadol pertiv, he gets a little older, biasa bekutcha. He has to have egg and milk, biasa bekutcha. Gadol perta, look at this one, once he gets a little older, tivure mani, he needs broken kalim. Why does he need broken kalim? Ki ha de rabba zovin luhu mani gezizi tepakul b'nei. Like rabba used to buy non-expensive broken kalim for his child. Umispri luhu, because he knew the child had to break stuff. The child has a lot of energy. So any he buy him low, you know, inexpensive broken kalim anyway to give to the child in order for the child to be able to break. Now you don't want to get upset at the child for breaking all his fancy items. So you would dafka buy him tvuremani in order they would have something to break. Rashi says, kalim stukim shel cheres bedamim kalim. Amazing. Put this on the list of Chanoch Lanar Pidarko. You know, Rabba understands that, you know, children need to break things. And children have a lot of energy that they have to get their steam off. And he bought him Kalim Dafka that he should be able to break. Right? The Revolbi in his Sefer on Zriyo Binyan Bechinuch. It's in Hebrew and in English. He talks about this is one of his major issues that we cannot, again, it's hard to know a lot of times. We cannot try to mature a child before they're ready to mature. And again, if they're at the stage of breaking things, so we have to be mechanech as much as possible, but we have to let them break things. Rabba bought his child Kalim in order to break. Says Revolbi says many times our behavior does not meet what the child is ready for. He gives examples. Another example, often we do not relate sufficiently to the child's play. For the child, play is a serious matter. Or Yisrael Salanter used to say, when a child plays with a piece of wood in the bath, and he pretends that it's a boat. If we take the piece of wood away from him, he has the same experience an adult would have if a real boat of his had sunk. For the child, the piece of wood is like an adult's boat. When an adult interferes in a child's play, he's stealing something from the child. Certain errors are widespread and are accepted as norms. For example, Revolbi writes, people demand that their children sit at the Shabbos table throughout the meal, even though the meal could extend for 90 minutes or even longer. A young child can't sit quietly so long. He needs to frolic. If we force him to sit throughout the entire meal, we're compelling him to do something far beyond his ability, and we need not explain how destructive it is, etc., etc. He even says later on, if we force a child to learn when they're supposed to play, they're going to play when they're supposed to learn. Again, there has to be a balance. We have to be mechanic for children. We have to make them come to the Shabbos table. We have to make them, you know, learn a little bit at certain ages. But Revolbi says, doesn't quote this Gemara, but it fits in, that we have to make sure that our expectations meet what the child is up to, or what the child should be a little bit shooting for. In general, this is important makar related to that issue. One of the challenges of bringing up children. Continues the Gemara. First wide line. Getting back to what it said in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel. Beginning of the parak. Hamelach v'hakala yirchatzu es peneihem. The Mishnah had said at the beginning that a king and a kala, a woman who just got married, we'll have to see how long that status stays. A melech and a kala are allowed to wash their face on Yom Kippur. Hamelach v'hakala rochatzin yirchatzu es peneihem. It does not say they can take a whole shower. It doesn't say they can wash their whole body. But at least their face, Yerchadas Peneyem, they're able to wash. The Mishnah continued and said that a Chaya, a woman who just had a baby, is allowed to wear shoes. Tinol as a sandal, according to Rabbi Eliezer. And the Chacham had Aser. Continues the Gemara, Mani Masdis, and who is the Mishnah like? Who has these allowances? Rechanina Betrad Yonhu. Titania, Hamelach Vakal Lo Yerchadas Peneyem. Rechanina Betrad Yonhu, Mishnah Rabbi Eliezer, Hamelach Vakal Yerchadas Peneyem. You see, the Mishnah is like the Heshita of Rabbi Hananya. Who allows it? Hachailo Tinol as a sandal. Rechanina Betrad Yonhu, Mishnah Rabbi Eliezer, Hachaya Tinol as a sandal. So we have a brisa that quotes the Amachlokes, and our Mishnah goes like the Mako opinion. The Bach switches the next two words. Melech, my taima. What is the reason that a king has the heter to wash his face, even on Yom Kippur? Mishum, melech, mishum dechsev, this week's parsha. Not the pasuk, but the idea of a parsha of a melech is this week's parsha. But the pasuk says in Navi, melech biyafio techazene inecha. A melech has to look nice. Right, part of the mitzvah, our mitzvah, of giving kavod to the king, to fearing the king. Emas HaMelech, discussing this week's Parsha and in Shmuel Aleph, where the Bnei Yisrael asked for a king, is part of the mitzvah is for us to put the king on a high pedestal, for us to be mamlech him. The halacha is that a melech can't even be mochel on his kavod. Ain't kvod the machlo, because he's the melech, and he's not allowed, not from his point of view and from our point of view. So because of that, he's allowed to wash his face. Again, l'chora, this is not, even if you say the Isra of Rechitza is a din daraisa, washing face, many mefarshim say that's not included in the daraisa. I can tell you what, because of the mitzvah of Emas Melech, it's ati docha lo saseh. So the asay docha, the mitzvah of the covenant melech. So l'chora, even if you say the Isra of Rechitza is daraisa on Yom Kippur, that applies to washing the body. But washing the entire face, l'chora is at most of the Rabbanan, and b'makom kvod melech, and mitzvah of Emas Melech, so that's when we say it would be allowed. So that's why a king is allowed to wash. Kala my taima. Why is a kala allowed to wash? Kadesh lo tiskana abayla. She just got married. We want the relationship to grow. We want it to be able to be strong the first couple of weeks. So therefore, we do everything we can in order to keep the feeling strong. And therefore, we allow her to wash her face, even on Yom Kippur. What about the chasen? So it sounds like we're more worried about the kala's appearance than the chasen. The Gemara says many times, Kadesh lo tiskana abayla, doesn't usually say shlo tiskana al ishta. Ishta, I guess it relates to the talamates of Tanzum and the mates of Armelo. You know, a woman has lower standards in terms of what she's expecting her husband to look like. You know, different than the other way, the other direction. Amalei Rav Chia, it's based on human nature. It's on human nature. Amalei Rav Chia, Kala Ad Kama, how long does a woman have the status of a Kala after she gets married? Amalei, the Gemara says, Kitatanya, as the Brisa says, Ein Monin Tachshidim in a Kala Kosh Shloshim Yon. We do not prevent a kala from wearing jewelry all 30 days. So you see, it's 30 days. Rashi points out that this makar, this brisa, has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. This is from the beginning of Maseches Ksubis, where it talks about Rachman al-Islam, the case where a wedding is about to take place, and Rachman al-Islam, right before the wedding, either the father of the chasen or the mother of the kala is nifter. And the question is, what do you do? Everything's prepared. You can't reschedule the caterer. You can't reschedule the band. Everybody's there. All the food is there. And what do you do? So the halacha is, again, not for now. We discussed this a couple of years ago when we learned Masechus Tzubis. We put the mace b'cheder. I mean, you don't do the kvura yet. You have the, Rashi explains the whole case here. You put, bring the chas and the kallah to the chuppah. They have the chuppah. They have the first bias mitzvah. Then you do the kvura. Then you have Sheva Brachas, then you have Shiva. So that's the order, and the first from there, and the Rishonim discuss why that is the order. But in any case, that is where this Bryce is coming from. And that those 30 days, even though she just lost her mother, she's allowed to wear jewelry those first 30 days. So the Gemara is saying that just like over there, she's allowed to wear jewelry the first 30 days, and she's called the Kala then, so too regarding Yom Kippur, she's also called the Kala. It's not such a smooth parallel. Because over there, why did it say 30 days? Because she's only doing shloshim for 30 days. Now, more than that, there's no problem with wearing jewelry. It says 30 days there because that, at most, the biggest problem is 30 days. Therefore, it says she has all 30 days. After that, of course, she should wear jewelry. Mashiach, over here, we're talking about how long does the status last. So the Mordechai in Moed Katan points out that it's not such a clear-cut comparison, but the Gemara uses this comparison anyway. That just like over there, you see, it uses the lashon of shloshim yom. So to here, we say the status of a kala stays for 30 days. We know there are other halachas that stay, right? There's some opinions in the Gemara Ksubis that say you should say shasimcha bimono whenever you bench with a chasen and kala after 30 days of the wedding. We don't paskin that way. We paskin only sheva brachas. But there are other halachas that continue for 30 days, and that's what the Gemara says here. Hachaya tinol es hasandol mishim sina. The chaya, the woman who just had the baby, could put on shoes because of she's cold. She has the status of a chola, and that's why she's allowed to wear the shoes. Amar Shmuel, emach pasakan es akra mutter. If there's a danger of scorpion bites in the land, so then anybody can wear shoes because you don't want. Again, that's also potential chola is also allowed to wear shoes. Period. So that's all related to those inuyim. So then the Mishnah, beginning of the parak, went on to the discussion of the shiurim for. The shiurim for eating and drinking. So the Mishnah had said, if somebody eats the size of a large date, koseves agasa, one of the only places, maybe only two places in halacha where such a shiur is used, we're usually used to kezias or even kebetza. Here we have koseves. It's used one time in Hilchos Tumah Vatara. Besides that, Mizman HaZeh is only used in Hilchos Yom Kippur. We'll have to see today why that is. I'm sure it was mentioned already. Hochal koseves agasi, eat the size of a large date. And look at the language of the Mishnah. It's going to be important. Kamoha ukagaranisa. Like it and its pit. I'm going to talk about what that means today. If you eat the size of a large date, it and its pit, or if you drink mali lugma, a cheekful, so that is chayiv mita araisa on Yom Kippur. Then the Mishnah said, all foods are mitzarev to a kezias, and all liquids are mitzarev to a mali lugma, but eating and drinking cannot combine. You can't take a half a koseves of food and a half a mali lugma of liquid. That doesn't work. So it says the Gemara, hocha ko koseves agasa. Boy ref papa, ki koseves sha'amru begaranisa o below garanisa. Top line. The date that we're talking about is that with its pit or without its pit. So you read this Gemara, they're like, didn't you read the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Kamoa ukagaranisa. You know, what's the Gemara talking about? So that's why the Rishonim here try to figure out what exactly is the question the Gemara is asking. So we have Rashi, we have Tosas, and we have the Aruch. We'll take three. So Rashi says, Bagaranisa shaloba garanisa. Rashi says, maybe what the Mishnah means when it says garanisa, when it says, the Lashon is, Kamoa ukagaranisa, it really means oh. Like it, let's rewrite, like it or like its pit. What does that mean? Rashi says the question is, does it mean an entire date, it and its pit? Or does it mean just the date without the pit? Or just the pit without the date? That's the question according to Rashi. What does it really mean? When it says kamoka garanisa, even though the pashas means, you know, it's one phrase, Rashi says maybe the Gemara is wondering, you know, maybe it means either or. The Rashi is on top. Does it mean an entire date with its pit? Either or. And those are very, very similar, you know, similar shiurim, but it's not exactly the same. That's why it asks, is it kamoa o kigaranisa? That's Shitas Rashi. Tosus asks a simple question on Rashi. What do you mean? It's two different shiurim? It's either the pit or the seat, so shouldn't you just say the smaller one? What do you mean? The Mishnah's giving two shiurim, so say the smaller one. But once you eat the smaller one, you're already chayiv daraisa. So how could that be the question? Again, according to Rashi, the question of the Gemara is, do you have to eat the whole date, the size of a whole date with the pit inside, or just the size of the date, or just the size of the pit? That's Shita's Rashi. So Tosa says, but one of them is the smallest shear. So why doesn't the Mishnah just say the smallest shear? That's a very strong kash on Rashi. And that's why other Mefarshim reject Rashi. So I'm saying it means maybe Rashi's talking about different places, different size dates, or different shiurim. There is one suggestion, Rav Yashav writes, how to defend Rashi. And he writes that it is derech rechoka ksas. He says it is forced to put into Rashi, but it's a nice pshat. That's why he suggested. He says, if you look back at the Mishnah, the second half of the Mishnah, we just alluded to, says that all foods can be mitzarif to a kezias. So he asked Rav Yashav, the kasha, my kamash v'lon, v'chiyat Torah min echad kasuv, what's the haba meaning that foods can be mitzarif to each other? It doesn't say on Yom Kippur that you're not allowed to eat tomatoes, and you're not allowed to eat pizza. It says you're not allowed to eat food. Right? Inui doesn't even say you're not allowed to eat food. It just says you have to be mitzare. What's the haba meaning that foods wouldn't be able to combine? So he has two possibilities. He says, number one, we're going to have in a minute that Yom Kippur is all about feeling good, yisuvei daita, being, not feeling in a state of inui. So you might say that different foods don't always give you the same feeling of, I just ate, then you eat a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So maybe that's what havamina, that they wouldn't be able to combine. But then he says the other possibility is that maybe sometimes you have a dip, or you have a food that's eaten with something else, that the other thing, you would, gravy. You never drink, let's say, thick gravy, so it could be considered food. You never eat thick gravy sauce. You have a marinara sauce with a lot of stuff in it. So that's, you never eat that plain. So you just eat that with the other food. So maybe that's the chiddush. The chiddush is that even something that you wouldn't eat plain, can be mitzarif with the other food for the shear. That's two pshat in the Mishnah. So now Rav Yashav says, maybe what Rashi is talking about by giving the two the different shiurim, like the whole date, or just the date, or just the pit, is referring to different types of foods. Foods that you could eat very small, even less than the size of a complete date. You could eat that plain, so maybe that's the smaller shear. And foods that you can't eat by itself, it has to be with something else, that's the larger shear. But basically, his answer is that different foods are being alluded to by the Mishnah when it says the different words of the Mishnah. Again, he admits it's very dachuk to put this into the question of the Gemara and to put this into the Mishnah. It's not that the Gemara is asking, what's the shear on Yom Kippur? You have to say something for Rashi, because it's a very strong question that Tosafos has on Rashi. That is Rashi's pshat of the question of the Gemara. What does the Mishnah mean? A complete date, just the date, or just the pit? Tosfos has a different pshat. Tosfos, which is also difficult to put into the Mishnah, but when the Mishnah says kamoa ukagara nisa, says Tosfos, what does that mean? Does that mean a complete date with its pit? Or does that mean a complete date, including its pit, plus another pit? Because it says kamoa ukagara nisa. So does that mean a pit, a date and another pit? Or just the date with the pit inside? That's the Gemara's question, what does the Mishnah mean? And finally, a third upshot of the question, the Tosfos quotes the Aruch, who quotes Rabbeinu Nissim Gon, who says that whenever you have a fruit with a pit inside, there's always a little space in between. It's not exactly touching. There's always a little space in between the pit and if we had a microscope, X-ray vision, we're able to see the little space in between the pit, at least on some fruits, at least by a date, the pit and the outside of the date. So that's the question of the Gemara. Does it mean the date as is, that size, even though there's space a little bit in between, or do you have to smush the date in order that there is no space in between, and then that's the size, the shear for Yom Kippur? So those are three different pshatim. What is the question of the Gemara? Even if the Gemara is bothered, what is the shear on Yom Kippur? Just one important ha'ara. The Bir Halacha points out, the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha points out, that if you mamish eat a date with its pit, you're potter on Yom Kippur, because a date is not roi la'achila. We're used, the date's pit is not roi la'achila. We're only talking about the size of what food, how much food you have to eat on Yom Kippur in order to be chayev. We're using the date and the pit, but says the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha, don't think that if you eat an entire date and the pit inside, that you're going to be chayev daraisa for Yom Kippur. What's the problem?
It's amazing that Mishnah Berurah says that.
What's the problem? So you just don't get confused. Don't get blindsided that we're talking all about eating dates and eating dates with a pit. Don't think that if you mamish eat that, unless he says at the end it's an edible date, edible pit. In some places, some gemaras talk about edible pits. But either way, the pashtus that you wouldn't be chayav for that. Okay, let's continue. So that's one question in the Gemara about the size of the shear of a koseves on Yom Kippur. Boy Rabashi, a different, similar question. Etzem kisaora, we know that the shear of a bone of a dead body, being in a house, how much of a bone of a dead body has to be in a house in order to create tumas ohel for that house? So says the Gemara, etzem kisaora. We know it's the size of a barley seed. The bone the size of a barley seed. So again, the Gemara wonders, beklipasa or below klipasa? Barley grows on a stalk in a husk with an outside shell. So what's the shear of the saora that we're talking about? We're talking about a barley seed in its husk or barley seed not in its husk. Also, balach obivesha. We're talking about a dry barley or a cooked barley. Right? If the barley's in shalant, it gets bigger. Right, that's why all of a sudden, you know, your chalon pot is full, because the barley is bigger when it's lacha. So that's the question. The Gemara has, Rav Ashi has the ibaya by barley. Are we talking about with or without the husk, or moist versus dry? So Gemara says, Rav Ashi, let me buy the hadra papas. So we have two questions here. One about the koseves, and one about the etzem kisaora. Each one was not bothered by the other one's kasha. So says the Gemara, Rav Ashi was not bothered by Rav Papa's question about the koseves. Why? Gasa itzmar kol kama the gasa. It says the word large date in the Mishnah. So obviously it means the largest shear. Rav Papa lomi boy lehadar Rav Ashi, and Rav Papa wasn't bothered by Rav Ashi's question. Lacha shibolas ikri. Once you cook it, it's not called saora anymore. It's called shibolas. Shalobik libasa ushla mikri or chushla mikri. So there's different names if the husk was taken off or if it's already cooked. So obviously, says Rav Papa, what we're talking about by the etzem kisaora is a dry with its klipa barley. That's why they weren't bothered by each question. Okay, vayter. Omar Rabba Rabbi Yehuda. So now we have two deos in the Gemara, two very important deos about measurements. One is on Amud Aleph. We're going to get to Amud Bey. We're going to get to the second deo in the middle of the next Amud. Which is bigger, a beitza or a koseves? That's going to be the machlokas in the Gemara. We know kizayis is the smallest. What's up next? And this has a lot to do with what we've touched on in the past. What's the shear of a beis of Bizman Hazeh? The Tzlach has a big discussion in the end of Masechet Pesachim. Are eggs smaller than what used to be? The Chazon Ish taught why that's the whole discussion of, you know, the shear, the Chazon Ish shiurim and the shiurim. It's all about whether our eggs are smaller than what they used to be. No, the eggs aren't like what they used to be. So here, the part of the question is dates and eggs. So we know, l'chora, our eggs are larger than dates. But in the Gemara, which is bigger, koseves or a beis? Some of you, Rabba or Rabbi Yehuda. Koseves agasa sha'amru yisera mikabesa. So Rabbi Yehuda holds the koseves is larger than the beis. We don't pass it this way. We pass it like the second opinion. It says Rabbi Yehuda, the koseves hagasa, the large date, is larger than a beis. And the Rabbanan assumed in interpreting the din to oraisa of inui that once you eat a koseves amount, misvadaita, that's when you have your das is settled, literally, meaning you're not in a state of inui anymore, and that is when, that's also on Yom Kippur. So amazing. All other isurim throughout the year, isurei achila, this year is a kazayis. You're not allowed to eat a kazayis of treif. You're not allowed to eat a kazayis of anything that's not kosher. Yom Kippur, if you eat a kazayis, you're still in a state of inui. Maybe you can even get an ali on Yom Kippur. It's not that you're still the issue is not fasting or not fasting. The issue is in a positive state of affliction, of inui, and the Chazal assumed in interpreting the law that shear is a koseves, that's the shear of Yisuvei Daita, and that is the shear so uniquely for Yom Kippur. Butzer mehachi lo misvadaite, less than that shear, a person's dot is not settled. Achronim discuss that this difference between Yom Kippur and other isurim have many nafkaminas. Yom Kippur is not about a maisa iser shel achila, or maisa of achilas iser. It's not about that. It's about the feeling afterwards, the totsa'a of having yisuvei daita. There's a Yerushalmi that says, this is explained by the Zecher Yitzchak. Yerushalmi says that Reish Lakish, at the beginning of the parak, where the Machlokas Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan about Chasi Shir. Yerushalmi says that Reish Lakish would admit on Yom Kippur that Chasi Shir is also Minat Torah. Even though Rish Lakish usually holds Chazir is mutter min haTorah, Rish Lakish would agree Chazir is asur min haTorah on Yom Kippur. Why? What's the difference? So explains the Zeicher Yitzchak. Because if by a regular Maisa Isser, Maisa Achila Shal Isser, so fine, it's only half a shear, you didn't do a Maisa Isser. But if the whole point is the totsah, the result of feeling good, so then maybe if you eat a chatzi shir, we should be worried. Because if you eat another chatzi shir, chatzi l'starufe, as Rabbi Yochanan had said earlier, you're going to feel good. You're going to have that result of Yisuve Daita. And if you can have the result, you have to be worried, and that's why Yom Kippur is different. That's the Pshat of Yerushalmi. One difference. A second difference. The Minchas Chinuch talks about, when you eat something, when you eat a piece of treif, let's say you eat exactly a kezayis of treif. So some of it goes down into your stomach, some of it gets stuck in your teeth. What if you only, is what's stuck in your teeth mitztaref to the isser? Let's say you only put a kezayis in your mouth. So some of it's stuck, some of it gets caught on your palate. That's part of the reason we have to wait 6 hours, because meat gets stuck in your teeth. So what do you say? So we generally, Paskin says the Menachas Chinuch, that what's stuck in your teeth is mitztaref to the isser, and if you only eat exactly a kezayis into your mouth, then that is asur midaraisa. That's full, called a complete shear. But ask the Menachas Chinuch, what about Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is all about feeling good, not being in a state of inui. See, he's mesupik. He's in doubt whether what's in your teeth is in sarif Yom Kippur. Because it's not just about a maisa achilu where you would say you ate it if it's in your teeth. It's about hanas meyav, maybe. Right? It's about feeling, the result of feeling, not in a state of inui. So maybe what's in your teeth cannot be mesarif. So Menachas Chinuch is not sure about it. Menachas Chinuch has the suffix about bein hachanichim. Yeah. Oh, we're going to get to benching at the end of Amud Beis today. So that's going to be the kasha. That's going to be right for the other shita about Sviya by benching. We're going to get to that at Raya. Yeah. Oh, the question, what about chewing gum all day? Bracha Rishona might be different. Different rules. On Yom Kippur, chewing gum. Well, we pass in Chatzi Shir is Aser. Minat Torah maybe on Yom Kippur, even according to everybody. And Chatzi Shir is Aser Midrabana for sure, according to everybody. So for sure, it's aser. Question: the rice of the rabbanon, right? So again, but again, chewing gum, the certain flavor goes down. But again, that's, you know, there's generally Rupa the Post say that you're not allowed to chew gum on a fast day, any fast day. There is a minority one opinion out there that says that you can, but generally, it's at least aser mishum chatzi shir. But you're right. According to this svara, if it doesn't go down, maybe there's no iser of hanas meyav. There's no state of hanas meyav. But you're right. But it would at least be aser mishum rabbanon. No chetzerim here. Okay. Says, continues the Gemara. What? Beria, right? So beria, if it's a whole item, it might show you a whole piece of gum, you're relating to the... No. So, right, so beria in general, the different shiurim, right? That's a Yoradei issue. So beria, b'fneyatzvah, so we pass again, that's not, it's not batel, and it's a separate shiur. Okay, so let's continue. Batzer mehalkilom sedaita. Meisveh, so Gemara is a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says that a koseves... A date is larger than an egg. So we're going to ask a kasha on that. Meisvei, Meisvei, Vilu, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Lidom Zatavshil. Right, story in Sukkah. They brought Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to taste the food. Olur Gamliel, Shtei Kosavos, Vilish Amayim. And according to Gamliel, they brought him two dates and a cup of water, a pail of water, for Amru, Helam L'Sukkah. And he said, bring him to the Sukkah. I don't want to eat it outside the Sukkah. V'toni Allah, Lo Mebrei Shehalacha Kach, and the Brisa says, it's not because Meikar Adin they needed to eat it in the Sukkah. El Sharatzel Hachmer Al Atzman. But they were being Machmer on themselves. So what do we see so far? That two Kosavos, two dates, you do not have to eat in the Sukkah. Right? Because it's just a Chumrah, says the Gemara. Ratzel Hachmer Al Atzman, the size of two dates. But the Meiri there in Sukkah says there was no problem of the Chiddush is that there was no problem of Yuara. Even though they didn't have to eat in the Sukkah, there's no problem of Yuara. Why not? We had a whole shiur a couple weeks ago. Chumrah. When is the Chumrah appropriate or not? So you have to add this. There's Maritz Chayis and Sukkah there. You have to add to the shiur. The Maritz Chayis says, because it's not Nikar, that it's you don't have to eat in the Sukkah. Maybe this is the beginning of a big meal. Who knows? You go into the Sukkah with two dates. But maybe this is the appetizer. Maybe you can eat everything after. So nobody's going to think, oh, what a Machmir. What a Mishum Yuara. Nobody's going to know that. Because you bring it to the Sukkah, maybe you can have a four-course meal in the Sukkah. So that's why he says it's not a problem of Yorah. I gave this shiur on a weekday in this summer, so it's on my laptop, so I'm going to put it on the shul website. If anybody missed it, anybody out there wants to hear a shiur on Inyani Chumrah, hopefully soon it'll be on the shul website. El Shoraz Lachmar Alasman. So anyway, getting back to this, what do we have so far? Two dates do not have to be eaten in the Sukkah. And when they gave Rabbi Tzadok food less than the size of an egg, he wrapped it in a handkerchief. He didn't touch the food. Why? Because he wanted not because anything to do with Hilchos Brachas, Rashi points out. Because he don't want to get it dirty. Nuts lubamapa, v'yachlu chutz l'sukkah, and he ate it outside the sukkah, v'lo birach achrav. And he didn't make a bracha achrona, because he ate such a small amount. But what do you see from this second story? That egg, kibetza, is the key amount. Ha kibetza, boy sukkah. What's mashma from the second story turning over? If it was the size of an egg, it wouldn't need a sukkah. So what do we have? We have the size of two kosavos, two dates, can be eaten outside the sukkah. The size of an egg has to be eaten in the sukkah. So what did we just say before? A kosevis is larger than an egg? Says the Gemara. So if you say a large date is larger than an egg, hashta shtei kosavos below garin in lo havi kibetza. So does it make sense to say that two dates without their pits are not the size of a beitza? Like here, because obviously Rabbi Gamliel was not eating pits. So they brought him this, two dates without the pits. That's less than a beitza. Kosevis agasav garisa miyavi yisir bikibetza. And the size of a large date with its pit is larger than a beitza. Another, does it make sense to say that if you have, this is the order, the hierarchy, a date with its pit is the largest, then an egg, then under that, two dates without their pits. Does that make sense? Does that fit? So the Gemara says, yeah. Our Rabbi Yerbia in Shtekos, that was below Garinas and Loavi Kabetsa, Kosevas Agas, Garinas, Havi Zeri Kabetsa, yeah, the pit is very big. So once you have the whole date with its pit, you know, that jumps over Beitza, and that's larger than a Beitza. And Amar Papa, Haina the Amri Inshi, that's what people say, Shrei Kavi de Tamri, two kav of dates, is equal to Char Kav de Kashyasa, Visariach, is equal to one kav of kashyasa are the pits, visariach, and a little more, a little extra. Meaning, you see, the pit is larger than the date itself. And therefore, to say that a date with its pit is larger than an egg, even though two dates without their pits are smaller than an egg, that is fine. Two, tchavim, bitzmari, chad kav, the kashyasa, visariach. Fine. So, because it's Rosh Chodesh Elul, first day of Elul, we can say Chassam Sofer, that says that this line of two kavim of dates is equal to one kav of kashyasi of a sariach. You know, he says, on Yom Kippur, that we're talking about, he says it's being Merami's Asam. Says Chassam Sofer, the dates, the outside symbolizes the ochel, the mitzvahs, the good stuff. The pits symbolize the hard stuff, the psoles, the averus. Says the Chazan Sofer. Tzorach Adam Lurus Adatzmo Mechsa Zaka Mechsa Chayiv. The Rambam says. The Gemara says. Right? We have to see ourselves exactly Mechsa O Mechsa. Right? We have equal mitzvahs, equal averus. Ubiyom HaKippurim Yachshav Atzmo Sherubo Averus V'yaseh Tshuva. On Yom Kippur, though, we have a little bit more averus because we have to push ourselves. We have to really push ourselves in order to do tshuva. V'zeh Nirmaz Mishir Achilu B'Yom Kippur. That's Merumas in this year. Because why? What does it say here? We have two kavim of dates, of good stuff, of mitzvahs, and the other equal to the hard stuff, the pits, v'sariach, but a little more. It's a little more, the psolus is a little more. Shebaha garanju psolus and ramiz al averos, rav meha ochlas ramiz al mitzvahs. But if we do mitzvahs, if we do tshuva, it's all going to become mitzvahs. Like the Gemara says later on, we're going to have all the tshuva Gemaras. That's from next week coming up, right? If you do tshuva me'ava, averos, zdonos, nechshav lo, it switches to zchuyos. If you plant a pit, a date pit in the ground, it'll grow a date tree. Right? Because you can take the psolus, you can take the pits and switch it into mitzvahs, and switch it into ochel. So, get into the inyana diyoma Elul Rosh Hashanah mode. Okay. So that is all. So what are we talking about here? There's a lot to say on the sukkah issue. We don't have time right now. But, so that is all. We just answered a kasha to the opinion. The first opinion says that a kosevis is larger than a beitza. And we asked a kasha and we answered it. Second answer to that question, Rava Amar, don't ask me kasha from sukkah. From sukkah, it appears that a beitza is larger than a kosevis. No, don't ask me kasha from sukkah. Hasa minor time, I'm sure Delohavi Peirei, the Bishop Dehavi Le Peirei, who Peirei Laboy Sukkah. No, but there, the reason that they didn't take the dates into the sukkah is not because of the shear of the dates. Forget the shear. You can't be dying anything about the shear of the dates. It has to do with the fact that fruit do not have to be eaten in a sukkah, no matter how much fruit, even a lot of fruit, as long as you're not Kovei Asuda, as we'll see. Meisvei. Is it really true that sukkah does not, fruit does not require a sukkah? I'm a Rebbe. When we're learning Torah there, when we're learning with Rav Elazar ben Shemua, we ate figs and grapes outside, we ate it achilas arai, a snack type eating outside the sukkah. And we're medayik achilas arai in achilas kevalo. Mashma that if you eat achilas keva, fruit, you'd have to eat in the sukkah. So what do you mean fruit doesn't need a sukkah? So Gemara gives two answers. Ema achalnim ka achilas arai chutz l'sukkah. Maybe it means we ate it like an achilas arai, which means no matter how we would have eaten it, it would have been considered achilas arai, because fruit by definition are achilas arai, so fruit never need a sukkah. V'ba'yisema or achalnim achilas keva, or no, you have to add in a few words to the brisa, the chsiri mechsir in the story. We ate the fruit achilas keva. What does achilas arai mean in the brisa? V'achalnu pas achilas arai ba'dayu chutz l'sukkah. And we ate some pas, let's say mizonos, or chutz l'sukkah. I don't know if it literally means pas, if you eat bread, if you could have bread, but let's say pas ababakistan, some type of mizonos, outside the sukkah, achilas arai. Either way, it's two ways to understand the story, so that we could still maintain the maskana that fruit do not need a sukkah. Lema Messiah, just finishing up this issue, let's try to prove that fruit do not need a sukkah. Lafichach, the Mishnah says, the way Rashi learns this line, the Mishnah says in sukkah that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to eat 14 meals in the sukkah on sukkahs. Two every day. 14 meals you have to eat. It's not just that you're not allowed to eat outside the sukkah. You have a positive commandment to eat 14 meals in the sukkah every day. Lafichach, im hishlim, even itagima yatsa. But if you are mashlim those 14 meals with mine targima, Rashi says lifton, foods that are eaten with bread, so then yatsah, your yosa, your 14 meals. V'isagadada peri bai sukkah lisni peris. Right, so says the Gemara, if fruit have to be eaten in the sukkah, l'chora, fruit should be able to be used to be yotzei your mitzvah of eating in the sukkah. That's a jump, but that's what the Gemara is assuming here. If fruit have to be eaten in the sukkah, they should be able to be yotzei your mitzvah of eating in the sukkah. So by the fact that it says meaning targima, which are non-fruit items, it must be that you can't use it to be yotzei your mitzvah in the sukkah, so it must be you're allowed to eat it outside the sukkah. The Gemara says, no raya. My meaning targima peiris. No, targima maybe means peiris. Or it's talking about a case where fruit are not common and they're out of season, and that's why he says targima, but really fruit would be allowed. Either way, that's the maskana that the Gemara says there's no raya, but there's no kasha regarding the issue of fruit chutz l'sukkah. But overall, the past 25 lines were about the first shita that holds, of Rabbi Yehuda, that holds that a koseves is larger than a kebetza. We do not hold that way. We hold like the second opinion right now. Rav Zvid Amar, koseves agasa she'amru, chaseira mikebetza. We hold that a koseves is smaller than a betza. So it goes, kezayis, koseves, kebetza. Kebetza is the largest. Zitzan, what's the raya? As the Mishnah says in the beginning of Maseches Beitza. Beishamai, Amrim Sa'or, Bekezayis, Lachamitz, Bekak, Koseves. Beishamai says, Sa'or, leaven, something that causes chametz, something that causes things to rise. The shear of bal yira, bal yimatze, of having it in your house, is a kezayis. Chametz b'kakoseves. Chametz is a koseves. You know, Beisil does not say this, but this is Beishamai Shita. Sa'or is the shear is a kezayis, and chametz is a koseves, which is a little larger than a kezayis. Ba'avina ba'my time of the Beishamai, what's the marker for Beishamai? Why does he have different shiurim for koseves, for chametz and sa'or? Because the Gemara says, niflarachmana chametz v'boisar. Why doesn't the Torah just say chametz is usur in your house on Pesach? Why does it even have to say lo yiralacha sa'ar? V'yanamina, I would know. Sa'ar is much more stringent. Uma chametz she'inchimusa kasha asur b'kezayis. Chametz which cannot cause other things to become chametz. That's asur b'kezayis. Sa'ar she'inchimusa kasha l'kal shekain. So sa'ar which causes other things to become chametz, surely that's going to be asur. So why does the Torah even have to mention it? So mitzvah b'ginu rachmana, from the fact that the Torah mentions it, it must be to tell me that there are different shiurim for the two. L'mdalacha shiurus hazeh lo k'shiurus hazeh. It must be that they have different shiurim. And sa'ar, obviously, which is more chamer, has the smaller shiur. Sa'ar b'kezayis l'chayis b'kakoseves. That's the makar for Beis Shammai. Sa'ar has the smaller shiur, which is a kezayis. Nothing's less than a kezayis. We'll talk about that. We don't have time today. Maybe the first thing tomorrow. Oh, it's Shabbos. Menachem will talk about it. There's an important Rashi here. Sa'ar b'kezayis l'chayis b'kakoseves. Sa'ar is the smaller shiur b'kezayis. Chametz is koseves. Says the Gemara. Now the Gemara is raya. V'yis l'chayis b'koseves hakasa shiur yisir mikabetza. If the shiurim go kezayis, kebetza, koseves. If koseves is on top, then why do we jump one? We know Beis Shammai has a makor that chametz is usur a little bit more than a kezayis. So you should go to the next one up. So why does the Gemara go to kebetza if koseves is the next one up? I'm sorry, why does it go to koseves if kebetza is the next one up? So mechti, Beis Shammai has shiur d'nafesh b'kezayis kamahadri. Beis Shammai is looking for the shiur just larger than a kezayis. Listen to kebetza, why doesn't it say kebetza? V'namaki adadi no nisa kebetza. And even if kebetza and kezayis are the same thing, you should say kebetza because that's the more a common term. So it must be Koseves is the smaller shear, and that is why Beis Shammai, when it's looking for the next shear up, goes to Koseves and not to Kebetza. That's the Raya. Says the Gemara, we'll finish with this, maybe it's no Raya. Don't compare large dates and stam dates. We're talking about Koseves Agasa by Yom Kippur. Koseves Agasa could be larger than a Beitza. Stam Koseves? Okay, that's smaller than a Beitza. That's what Beis Shammai is talking about. So maybe there's no Raya from the Mishnah. Or maybe they're the same shear, and it lists one of them the less common name. But still, don't think it's not a Raya. Okay, we have to stop here. The Gemara has one more proof to the second shita, which is going to accept the proof from benching. I don't want to go late because it's Rosh Chodesh, but that's where we're up to. Ella Mehacha will be a second raya to that opinion. Just 30 seconds to mention the Rashi, because I'm not going to mention it. Rashi here says, maybe it's even less than a Kezias, the Shir, Beis Shammai. Why does Beis Shammai say it's Kezias in the one up? Maybe even less than a Kezias, maybe that's the Chumrah. So says Rashi, no, it can't be, because by Yerubba Yimatz, it can't be more Chumrah than the Isra Achila of Chametz on Pesach. And this Rachila is Kezias, so Bar Yerubba Yimatzeh also has to be a Kezias. Relates to what we discussed in Pesachas Pesachim, the relationship between Bar Yerubba Yimatzeh and the Isra Achila. The Ran at the beginning of Pesachim says that Bar Yerubba Yimatzeh is a Syog Do Raisa for the Isra Achila. So this Rashi fits in very nicely to that, because the whole reason you can't have Chametz in your house, because you might come to eat it on a Daraisa level, so it makes sense that the Shiurim would be the same as well. Okay, so that's part of that issue. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a good Shabbos. And today's shiur was L'Zecher Nishmas, sponsored by the Friedman family, L'Zecher Nishmas Moshe Yecheskel Ben Yoshua, and by the Silver family, L'Zecher Nishmas Hendel Bas Menachem, and Fega Chaya Bas Akiva.